President Trump says he's issuing new sanctions, halting trade negotiations and raising steel tariffs in an effort to pressure Turkey to stop its ongoing offensive attack in Syria against Kurdish forces. For more, we're joined live on the KCBS Ring Central Newsline by Aaron David Miller, senior fellow at the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace and former Middle East analyst for the State Department. Mr. Miller, thanks for your time this morning. Do you expect these efforts being made by the president to have any effect?
It may give Erdogan a certain degree of reason to pause, but in the end, he has so much invested in this. He's a very divisive, polarizing figure in Turkish politics, but the one thing Turks appear to be united on is their determination to stop any Kurdish entity from establishing an autonomous area along their border. And as a consequence, I think for him to back down now would be devastating politically. The real question is, how far is the president prepared to go? Canceling a $100 billion trade deal, imposing tariffs on steel exports, all that's fine. But the question is the president prepared to go further, to block Turkish access to dollar accounts and to impose primary and secondary sanctions, which would have a devastating impact on the Syrian economy, on the Turkish economy? I'm not sure, despite his threats, that he's prepared to go that far. And even if you got a ceasefire, and they're made to be broken, even if you got a ceasefire, the reality is, Stan and Susan, that the game has changed in Syria. The Iranians, the Turks, the Russians have much more influence, leverage, and more will than we do, and they're going to direct traffic there, not the Americans.
Yeah, let me ask you perhaps a naive question. Mr. Trump opens the door to this by saying we're pulling our people out and turning the Kurds loose to fend for themselves, and then, with the predictable response by Erdogan, decides it's time for sanctions. What's up with that?
Well, I think... I mean, look, I've worked for Republicans and Democrats and voted for them. This is not a partisan comment, but I think this is just another example of the president coming up with a solution to a problem that America didn't have, and in the process creating additional problems. We've seen this with withdrawal from the Iranian nuclear agreement. We've seen it from withdrawal from climate. So he, in the end, he plays the role of both of arsonist in this case and fireman, and it reflects, I think, the worst aspects of this particular administration's foreign policy: a tendency to put domestic politics above the national interest, no sense of policy process or coordination, and frankly, not much thought given to the impact that this is going to have on America's partners abroad or on its adversaries.
Lawmakers on Capitol Hill say they're getting ready to make up legislation that would require the White House to impose tougher sanctions, something that has brought two people together we never thought we'd see work together, Democratic House Speaker Nancy Pelosi and Senator Lindsey Graham. How much power does Congress have in pushing those additional sanctions that you alluded to earlier?
It's a really good question. Look, if they can create a veto-proof majority, that is to say the president probably preempted Congress by at least imposing these tentative sanctions and making it clear he's prepared to do more. But unless Congress is prepared to override the presidential veto, the Constitution gives the president enormous discretion and leverage and authority and power in making foreign policy. It could be that on this issue, and frankly, I've never seen Republicans and Democrats so united on any aspect of any policy, foreign or domestic, that the president has undertaken over the last several years. It's possible they could create enough leverage in Congress to override a presidential veto. I'm not entirely sure it's going to come to that, though. The Russians are now patrolling in northern Syria. You're going to have some deal worked out, which is likely to stabilize the area along that border. We will not be the central drivers. The Russians and the Turks and the Syrian government will probably do that. And I think it reflects the fact that over the last two administrations, under both Obama and this president, the United States simply, and that includes public opinion and Congress, has never determined that Syria is a vital national interest. And if you're not going to do that, then you're not going to be able to invest blood and treasure. And frankly, after the two longest wars in American history in Iraq and Afghanistan, I am absolutely persuaded that we should not invest the kinds of resources that would be required to actually compete with these other powers on the ground. Syria's a mess. We're in the middle of it, or we were, and it's going to be left to others to sort it out right now.
Thanks for your time this morning. Aaron David Miller, Senior Fellow at the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace.